long line of stars soars into a cloudy sky to form the best part of a circle, crowning a snow-capped mountain peak. Paramount, a Viacom company. A hexagonal logo composed of a letter C slotted into an arrow. Canon. New York, in the future.
First there was the collapse of civilization. Anarchy. Genocide. Starvation. Then when it seemed things couldn't get any worse, we got the plague. The living death, quickly closing its fist over the entire planet. And then we heard the rumors that the last scientists were working on a cure that would end the plague and restore the world. Restore it? Why? I like the death. I like the misery. I like this world!
A man bursts out into daylight.
Come on, Pearl! It's clear!
A raven-haired woman.
I think we lost Bender and his pirates. We've got a chance to reach the Bronx Township and hire a slinger.
They run through dilapidated streets.
Get going, Pearl. I'll try to hold them here. Find a slinger to help you, Pearl. Now!
Attractive, curly-haired Pearl runs off. The man she was with stays behind. He's hurt his leg. A crucified man hangs naked from a modified lamppost. A bandit approaches, wielding an iron bar. Pearl's swarthy friend draws a dagger and hobbles backwards as the lithe, cyber-goth-like assailant strides towards him. Also approaching are an enormous, bare-chested, muscular man with a mullet and a woman with plaited hair. Pearl runs down a back alley. Her black-clad friend retreats. A figure leaps out, smashing through a window behind him. The cyber-goth proceeds towards his target. The androgynous figure who leaped out wears a fur-trimmed cloak. The figure kicks the dagger out of Pearl's friend's hand. The cloaked person punches Pearl's friend. The cyber-goth hits him with the iron bar, then kicks him repeatedly in the stomach. The woman with the plaits grabs Pearl's friend by the hair and knees him in the face. Pearl's friend falls to the ground where he lies defeated. A motley crew of eight or so bandits strides away from a burning building. Pearl's friend watches in terror as the gang draws near, led by a tall, muscular, broad-shouldered man, Fender Tremolo. He wears large, dark sunglasses.
Better.
Let her go!
To Atlanta.
To cure the plague with the information that she's carrying.
I want to own it.
Own the cure?
I'd be a god.
And the misery could be stopped.
I like the misery.
The world could be changed.
I like this world.
Go to hell.
Fender kicks him.
Been there.
Fender draws an enormous dagger and stoops down. He puts the dagger to Pearl's friend's throat, then removes his sunglasses to reveal a pair of unnaturally ice-blue eyes. He smiles coldly and slits the man's throat. He holds up the bloody dagger and a cohort proffers a sleeve. Fender wipes the blade clean on it, then returns it to a scabbard at his waist. One of his cronies drapes a leather cloak over his shoulders. Beneath it, he wears a chainmail waistcoat. Fender turns sharply and walks away. Against a backdrop of flames, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Cyborg. Starring Deborah Richter, Vincent Cline, Alex Daniels. Smoke rises in the red glow of the flames. Rolf Müller, Jackson Rock Pinckney, and Dale Hadden as Pearl Prophet. Costume designer Heidi Kaczynski. Music by Kevin Basinson. Production designer Douglas Leonard. Director of Photography, Philip Allen Waters. Line Producer, Thomas Karnofsky. Written by Kitty Chalmers. produced by Menahem Golan and Yoram Globus, directed by Albert Pyun. Pearl leans against a wall. The bandits are chasing her. She runs down an alley. A masked bandit is kicked in the face by a lean, muscular man, Gibson Rickenbacker, who has a sword strapped to his back. He puts a boot down on the man's throat, then looks round to see Pearl running away. She comes to a door that won't open at the end of the alley, and she steps up onto a rickety basket to climb a wall. The basket overturns and she falls to the ground. Gibson frowns. Two bandits loom over her, one of whom stands at the entrance of the alley. The foremost bandit drags her to her feet as Gibson slits the other one's throat with his own dagger. Gibson hides round the corner as the other ninja-like bandit edges towards the alley entrance with his dagger drawn. As the man approaches, Gibson springs out and turns the dagger against him. He throws the stabbed bandit to the ground and looks at Pearl.
Thanks.
He turns and walks away.
Wait!
Pearl grabs him by the hand.
Who are you?
She wears high-tech gloves.
Why did you help me?
She scans him with computerized eyes.
I thought it was somebody else.
Numbers flash by in her eyes. She looks at him earnestly.
I can trust you.
He takes his hand away from hers.
For what?
To get me back to Atlanta. There's a group of doctors there, the last ones. They've been working on a cure for the plague. They need information I have.
He stares at her.
I swear it's the truth.
A small fire burns in a nearby alleyway. A bandit with a gun hides behind a crate. Pearl looks at Gibson.
I'm a cyborg.
She peels off a curly wig to reveal the mechanical inner workings of her head.
They created me to retrieve data from a computer system here in the city.
Gibson pushes Pearl to the ground as the bandit fires at them.
Stand up!
Gibson gets blasted back through the wooden door at the end of the alleyway, and the ceiling collapses in on him. Wigless, Pearl turns her head to see Fender and his gang blocking her exit. Fender kicks away a scrap of rubble and calmly approaches her.
That slinger can't help you now.
He stares at her without expression from behind his sunglasses.
I'll take you to Atlanta, and you'll give me the cure. And if you don't, I'll give you the horror show.
He holds up the severed head of her friend. Her eyes widen and she blinks. A full moon hangs in the night sky. Gibson punches a fist up through the collapsed ceiling. Covered in dust, he rises from amidst the rubble. He staggers forth into the alley, beyond which a fire rages. He stares at the flames.
Get me back to Atlanta. There's a group of doctors there, the last ones. They've been working on a cure for the plague. They need information I have.
A woman screams as one of Fender's miscreants sets fire to a small wooden dwelling. The gang are burning, looting, and slaughtering. One guy eviscerates a corpse. Bright orange flames engulf a building. Old photographs and books burn, as does a bride and groom wedding cake decoration. Fender strides through the carnage and approaches a man who's guarding a wire mesh entranceway with a dagger.
You think we're gonna swim all the way to Atlanta?
He assaults the man.
Asshole! I hit the water! Hey, I caught a nice fish here!
Fender snaps a woman's neck. He grabs a wooden pole and jabs the man in the head with it. The cake decoration melts. Fender and his gang board a ship.
Hoist anchor, mates! We got us a skin job to take to Atlanta!
The vessel sails in the low light of dusk. Two figures stand in silhouette at its prow. Two tall poles, one of which supports a light, stand upright on the deck. A figure stands atop a battered wheelhouse at the stern as the rusty, beaten-up ship chugs on through calm waters. Gibson stares at the burning remnants of the township. A long-haired figure steals out of the shadows behind him. Gibson turns, swiftly drawing a weapon. He flings it at the figure with force, and the figure collapses in the shadows. Gibson draws his sword and sprints over. It's a woman. He lowers his sword with a sigh. Gibson sits by a small fire in a makeshift shelter. The woman, Nady Simmons, lies unconscious beside him. He looks at her. Gibson puts a sharpening block down on a small wooden bench between his legs and sets about sharpening one of his daggers. A cross hangs from a chain around Nady's neck. Gibson gently grinds the edge of the blade against the sharpening block. A flashback in which Gibson has long, windswept hair. A young woman, Mary, stands solemnly by a grave with a flaxen-haired girl of about 10 and a boy of around 4. They stare down at a makeshift cross serving as a gravestone. The girl rests her head against Mary's shoulder. Gibson stares back at them impatiently from an alleyway.
Say your final goodbyes to your daddy, and let's be on our way.
Gibson stands with his back to them.
I'm losing money, let's go.
In the shelter, Gibson continues to sharpen the dagger. In the flashback, Mary hands Gibson a package.
Don't know if I really trust you. Don't know if there's really any difference between slingers and the pirates that killed my Paul.
He stares at her.
But I guess I ain't got no choice. You're the only guy that answered the posting for the pay.
She wears a broad-brimmed straw sun hat.
Just get us out of the city.
It's what I do.
He looks away down the alley, then meets her gaze.
Get people out of the city. Let's go.
He starts down the alley, followed by Mary's blonde sister, who could easily be her daughter. Gibson passes the dagger blade back and forth over the sharpening block. In his flashback, he sits with the children asleep in his lap. He wears his hair in a ponytail with loose hair at the front, which hangs lank and greasy in front of his face. Willowy Mary looks at him.
You're good with them.
He meets her wide-eyed gaze, then looks at the children.
I like them.
Expressionless, Gibson works on his dagger. Carrying a suitcase and a rucksack, Gibson treks across a field with Mary and her young siblings. They stop as they come upon a large clapboard house.
It's beautiful.
We'll be safe here.
The girl screams. Small hands clutch barbed wire. The boy sobs. Fender smiles malevolently. In the shelter, Gibson slashes the dagger against the sharpening block, rousing Nady from her sleep. He sheathes the dagger. They share a look, and Nady averts her eyes. Looking away, he returns items to a bag, and Nady watches him. She slowly reaches a hand from beneath the blanket and grabs a faulty shard of metal from the floor.
She slowly conceals the weapon.
She fixes him with a hard stare as he tosses some items of clothing over one shoulder. He spots her looking at him. He whips the sheet away, revealing the makeshift dagger. He stares at it calmly, and she drops her gaze. He picks his sword up in its scabbard, gathers his things and rises to his feet. Doe-eyed, Nady sits up and regards him.
Are you looking for that woman?
He stops on his way out and looks back at her.
I heard the pirates say she has a cure for the plague. They're taking her to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Nady lowers her eyes. At the harbour, Gibson stands on the roof of the shelter staring down at a dead body. Slender, full-lipped Nady comes out of the shelter and joins him on its low, flat roof in the smoke from the smouldering settlements. Her crimped and highlighted hair blows in the breeze. Gibson looks out to sea.
Pirates wanted a boat.
She looks at the devastation.
All this for a stupid boat.
Why are you still alive?
I hid when they came. I saw them setting off down the waterway to Charleston. I was just getting ready to take off when you showed up. I figured you for one of the pirates.
She looks at him. He furrows his brow and narrows his eyes.
I'm gone.
He walks away. Nady wears tight trousers and a brown leather body warmer over a white shirt. She turns and follows him. They walk along a path.
So, are you going after that woman with the cure? To save her from the pirates? I'd like to help. My family died from the plague. So did most everybody else I've known. So as soon as I heard the pirates talk about this woman, I knew I had to do something to help.
Keep moving.
You don't want my help?
No.
You think you can rescue her by yourself?
It's not my business.
You're not going to try to save this woman? You don't care? Well, what do you care about?
Fender.
There's a cure for the plague and you don't give a shit? What kind of jerk are you?
Why don't you rescue her?
Maybe I will.
She glares after him.
You know, the shortcut to Charleston's a free road. You can't stop me from traveling.
Good luck.
He walks on, leaving her behind. She hangs back and stands there, frowning, then looks around and sets off after him. A fallen sign in the bushes reads Hoboken. Nady sits with Gibson in the shade of a tree. She drinks from his canteen.
Not too much.
She lowers the canteen and smiles at Gibson, then screws its cap back on. Gibson is examining a large map. His bag rests at his feet, and his sword by his side. Nady eats berries from a small plastic container. Gibson stares inscrutably at the container. He recalls Mary gardening on the lawn of the clapboard house, watched by her young brother. Wearing a pale blue dress and her straw sun hat, she opens a small tin containing a few pills. She stares at them with a look of resignation. Back in the present, Gibson stares wistfully at the berries in Nady's hand.
So do you think we'll find Fender?
He folds the map.
We'll get him.
Tell me something. I tried to kill you. So why did you stay with me while I was knocked out? Sort of goes against your hard-ass style.
He looks at her.
It's because I felt sorry for you.
He holds her gaze, then stands up and starts walking.
Man has a heart.
Night. Nady and Gibson walk together through a ramshackle street. Fires burn in dustbins and old advertising posters peel from the walls. A bare-chested man with a washboard stomach stands beneath a skeletal steel structure sharpening a dagger. Paupers dressed in rags shuffle by. Sparks take flight from a fire in a blacksmith's stall as a woman cranks the handle of a tool. A broken cartwheel leans against the stall. A muscular blacksmith beats something against an anvil with a hammer. Gibson sits opposite the barman in a seedy bar.
Fender's making his way down the intercoastal waterway to Charleston. He stopped for wood at Hatter's yesterday. Torched a settlement there.
I'll catch up with him. where the ocean meets the road to Atlanta.
Folks generally make it a point to stay out of Fender's path, Gibbs. Not go looking to kill him.
Gibson takes a sip from a tin cup.
I heard you've given it up. Found some peace in the country.
Mary stands in the field with her back to the clapboard house. Ponytailed Gibson walks over from the house and stands beside her.
This is going to be our home.
Gibson's hair hangs in a disheveled mess over his face. He looks at Mary.
You said you want to change. Stay with us? Just for a little while?
Gibson stands in a darkened room, holding his sword and scabbard by its leather strap. He puts it in a chest, drops a blanket over it, and closes the lid. Presently, in the bar.
I was a fool, miss.
Start to believe in the dream.
Everybody's got to have a dream, Gibbs. A little hope. Huh. Look at old Mays. Got my bar. Family. How's that for hope?
Gibson looks at Mace, then turns to walk away. Mace puts a hand on his shoulder.
Make sure you put your knives on for the right reason, son. What if you kill Fender? What then? What about the rest of your life?
A woman in round-rimmed spectacles and a flowery hat dips a dagger into a gooey concoction and applies it to the weeping sores on a woman's face. The woman screams in agony. Nady and Gibson look on from the street.
So the cure's not important, huh?
Nady walks away. A child bounces a ball in the street. A guy in a baseball cap steals it.
Got your ball! Knock it off, I'm gonna bash your brains out.
The man wears a mask of netting. Gibson grabs the ball.
Hey, I don't think this is yours.
The man throws a punch and Gibson knocks him out with the ball. He throws the ball to the child. The child beams and scampers back to his guardians. Gibson stares after him. The pirate's boat sails through the night. Fender consults a map by a fire below deck. The pirates sit around sharpening their daggers. One of them slices his own palm. A pirate woman watches as the enormous mulleted pirate sharpens his blade. Beside him, a bare-chested and muscle-bound pirate sharpens his dagger on a human bone. The motley crew sit bent double over their work in the firelight, like gargoyles in a chamber of hell. On the road...
Are you crazy? This is the wasteland. We can't go through here.
Fender has a bullet. We're walking. You want the cure? I want Fender.
A haggard man watches from the roadside as they pass. Behind him, human skulls stand on pikes. They stagger down a pathway flanked by bushes. Someone or something runs through the trees.
Shortcut to Charleston, my ass. We are lost.
He puts a hand up to stop her. A man in a net mask watches them from a high vantage. Gibson darts into the bushes.
Typical.
She stands alone on the path. A man in camouflage fatigues runs through the woods. Nady looks around, then bolts. She enters an abandoned, half-finished building at the roadside and climbs a stairwell sprayed with graffiti. The camouflaged man wears a mask. Gibson springs out on him and stabs him through the stomach with his sword. Nady walks out gingerly onto an upper story with a roof supported by brick columns. The level has no walls, and the tops of the surrounding trees are visible on all sides. Two ropes drop down behind her. Gibson fells another man in the woods and snaps his neck. Two masked men descend on the ropes behind Nady. Nady turns to see a masked man. Another leaps down onto a concrete structure beside her. She swings a sword at him, but he grabs it. She hobbles backwards and draws a dagger. The two masked men approach from the other side of the room. The man who grabbed her sword squats on the elevated concrete structure, holding a long chain with a mace on the end of it. More bandits show themselves, and she backs up into a gas-masked man behind her. She turns to throw a punch, but he blocks it. Gibson approaches with a pneumatic rifle. He peers round a corner at the gang. The gas-masked man has a dagger to Nady's throat. Their leader with the mace leaps down, and Gibson opens fire. A man is shot dead. The leader swings his mace, coiling its long chain around the barrel of the pneumatic rifle. He pulls it from Gibson's grasp and they exchange blows. A knife blade flicks out from the front of one of Gibson's boots and he jumps up as he performs a spinning kick, slicing his assailant's throat. A guy attacks with a dagger, but Gibson ducks and snaps the man's arm at the elbow. He stabs the man in the back of the neck. Another man attacks and slices Gibson across the midriff. Gibson fights back, pinning him to a concrete pillar. Another man attacks and Gibson kicks the dagger from his hand before using his accomplice as a human shield and booting the man out of the building. He plummets into the trees. Gibson turns to see Nady struggling with a dagger to her throat. He draws a dagger from his boot and other fighters ready themselves as he strides towards her. A man with a stick stands in Gibson's way. Behind him, Nady grabs her captor by the balls. The man swings his stick at Gibson, but Gibson breaks it in two. The gas-masked man looms over Nady with a dagger. Gibson flings a dagger into his back, and Nady kicks him in the groin. She jumps up and punches him. He falls to his death. Nady stares down at the body, then looks over at Gibson and smiles.
You're pretty good.
Stony-faced, Gibson goes through the pockets of the dead man in the gas mask. Her smile fades.
Do you ever get used to it?
Used to what?
The killing.
Her eyes rove. Gibson takes some of the man's effects, then walks away.
I didn't make this world.
She follows him, then stops for a moment.
Yeah, you only live in it.
Nady and Gibson stand on a sandy beach, staring out at the sea.
Fender's boat will pass here.
Good. Then we're stopping.
She takes off her rucksack and removes her shoes. Gibson watches as she removes her trousers and shirt. She runs naked towards the sea, her long hair bouncing as she goes. Night. Naked but for a blanket wrapped around his waist, Gibson sits down with Nady by a campfire on the beach. He has a scar on his muscular chest. She smiles.
You're just a walking wound, aren't you? Sorry. I like scars. Really?
He stares at the fire. Nady stabs playfully at the sand with a dagger.
So what did Fender do to you?
A flashback. Mary is hanged. Nady lowers her eyes.
You know, if you let me help you, you can help me.
No.
You still don't think that woman is worth saving?
I don't want to see you die.
Pretty Nady smiles.
I don't want to see you die either.
Nady's naked form is draped in a blanket.
You're not going to be here in the morning when I wake up, are you?
Nady lowers the blanket, exposing her ample breasts. Gibson moves closer. Gazing into her eyes, he reaches out and puts the blanket back over her shoulders. They share a look. He sits back down again by the fire and looks away. He stares off wistfully. In silhouette, Gibson and Mary kiss tenderly with their eyes closed. They part lips and gaze at each other. They're both naked. Gibson leans forward slowly and kisses her neck. Her head lolls back in ecstasy. They lie sleeping together under a blanket. Above them, Fender and two pirates watch menacingly through a window. Gibson wakes from a nightmare on the beach. Nady sits up behind him.
It's okay.
He leans forward, his skin damp with sweat. She leans up on one elbow and looks around for Gibson. She sees him standing by the sea, looking out through binoculars. Wrapped in the blanket, she goes over to him.
What is it?
Fender.
He hands her the binoculars, and she looks through them to see Fender's boat. The pirates recline in the darkness below deck. A bare-breasted woman in a loincloth stares off vacantly. Resting above her are a shark's jawbones. The boat sails onwards. In a shadowy chamber below deck sits Pearl. She's watched by a slender young woman with a mop of blonde hair. Pearl meets her gaze, and the woman looks away. Pearl's eyes rove. Then she looks up. There's a full moon. A flashback. A uniformed scientist talks to Pearl.
You were chosen because of your matrix engineering background. And the makeup of your personality. You are the perfect choice for this mission. However, I think it's important that you understand the ramifications of the decision you're making.
I wouldn't have volunteered if I didn't understand the consequences.
After the operation, you will never be the same again, Pearl.
Plague has destroyed so much. We've lost our humanity. We've lost our purpose. There's no meaning in this world. I want to change that.
The man smiles. Pearl lies on an operating table staring at the ceiling. Her left eye glows, and a doctor holds the eyelids apart. The eye rises up on a steel axle. The front detaches and rises yet further, trailing wires beneath it. Later, she prepares to leave.
I'll bring back the data you need. I swear it.
The scientist shakes her hand.
Good luck, Pearl.
She joins her swarthy friend by a doorway.
Don't worry, Pearl. I'll get you to New York and back.
On Fender's ship, Pearl stares up at the moon through a crack in the ceiling. Fender enters and squats between Pearl and the blonde woman. He looks at Pearl, who stares off into space.
We'll dock and reach the inland route by noon.
She turns her head to look at him and he moves closer, caressing her right cheek with a bandaged hand. Fender's ramshackle boat is moored up in a harbour. Gibson and Nady approach. Gibson regards the vessel with a frown.
Fender's boat.
Stay next to me.
His eyes turn to an elevated walkway over the boat. He removes his bag and readies the multi-barreled rifle. Fender and his pirates watch nearby as Gibson and Nady cross a patch of smoking earthen mounds.
Who are they?
Fender looks at his burly cohort.
Take him out.
To the other pirates.
Move.
The burly pirate strolls off. Nady and Gibson walk towards an industrial building. They stealthily enter the building. Gibson is on point with his gun at the ready. He looks up at a system of walkways and steel steps.
Wait here.
I'm not gonna stay here.
I want you out of my way until I see what's going on.
Look, I'm here to make sure that woman lives. And I'm not gonna let you do anything that could hurt her.
Nothing's going to happen to her. It's a promise. A promise.
He gives her a firm look and she stays put as he climbs a pale green steel stairway towards the elevated walkways. She thinks for a moment.
Fuck it.
Keeping her back to the wall, she peers round a corner into an open plan area on the ground floor. She breaks cover and strolls forward. Hiding behind her are Fender and two of his grim-looking cohorts. She hears one of them step forward. Gibson explores on a walkway. He turns sharply and spots a pirate. He aims his gun and the man scarpers. The pirate comes out at the end of a long walkway and draws a sword. He waves the sword about in the air in a showman-like display of skill. Gibson lowers his weapon. The pirate draws a dagger to complement his sword. They run at each other down the long walkway. Gibson unsheathes a dagger as they draw nearer. Their blades clash as they meet on an intersecting walkway. Gibson blocks the pirate's sword and punches him in the face. He does a backward spinning kick, smashing a heel into the pirate's mouth. Gibson kicks the pirate in the chest, knocking him back against a rusty tank. Gibson kicks a foot up to the man's throat. The cybergoth pirate attacks Gibson from the side, kicking the leg he's standing on. Gibson's leg twists painfully and he staggers back. The cybergoth kicks him in the face, and he falls against a railing. The goth kicks him in the back and the first floor railing swings out over the ground floor with Gibson clinging to it. He plummets, grabbing hold of a horizontal pipe halfway down. The goth prepares to throw a dagger. Gibson shakes the pipe frantically. One end of the pipe comes away and as the goth flings the dagger, Gibson swings down towards the ground floor. He lands, taking out a masked gunman with a rifle. A bearded black man with a spear charges at him, but Gibson shoots him too. Gibson blasts one of two approaching pirates, then the gun jams. He knocks the pirate unconscious with the butt of the gun, then turns to see Fender looming over an unconscious Nady. Fender stands large and threatening. Gibson glowers at him. He starts towards Fender with the rifle strapped across his back.
Come on!
In slow motion, Gibson strides towards Fender with an intense expression. A masked pirate strides out to block his path. Gibson quickly floors him, but he springs up again, and Fender slays him with his own dagger.
Motherfucker!
Fender shoots Gibson in the shoulder with a big gun. Scores of other pirates emerge from behind pillars and gather behind Fender. Gibson kneels wounded on the floor. There are 15 or so pirates gathered to face him. The slender blonde woman who Pearl was sequestered with on the ship strolls forward. She wears a pendant on a chain around her neck. Gibson stares at her and she stares back. A flashback. Mary's young blonde sister approaches Gibson.
I told my sister that slingers kill pirates. I'm gonna be a slinger someday.
No, you're not.
You'll do something better, Haley.
She looks at a pendant hanging from Gibson's neck, and he brings a hand to it. It's the same one the young blonde woman is wearing. The young blonde woman is Haley. Clutching his wounded shoulder, Gibson stares at her as she walks over to Fender and rests her head on his shoulder. Fender has a ponytail of dreadlocks. He stares coldly at Gibson. Blood trickles onto Gibson's hand from inside his sleeve as he reaches for a dagger in a sheath on his boot. Fender smirks. Gibson slings the dagger at him, but he dodges and the weapon goes flying off behind him. Gibson runs and the pirates give chase.
Go!
Gibson hides behind a low wall as the pirates race out into the open air. He removes the air canister from the back of the rifle and screws another in place. The burly long-haired pirate approaches a man wearing goggles guarding Pearl.
You'll keep an eye on her.
The begoggled pirate walks her away. Gibson climbs a steel ladder. The long-haired pirate glances up as Gibson starts across an elevated walkway. The begoggled one walks Pearl across the ground floor. Gibson climbs a flight of steps. The long-haired pirate follows his footsteps. The begoggled man pushes Pearl on. They stroll towards Nady, who lies face down, watched over by another pirate. The long-haired pirate races up steps in search of Gibson. Gibson leaps down onto a steel walkway. The two pirates and Pearl stare down at Nady. Gibson squats on a low walkway behind them. He takes aim with the rifle and fires. He takes out the two pirates. The long-haired pirate smiles and draws a large dagger. Gibson drops down to ground level and Pearl stares at him incredulously as he approaches. She looks down at Nady. Gibson squats and checks her pulse. He throws Nady over his shoulders. Pearl looks at him.
Come on.
I'm not going with you. You're not strong enough to get me to Atlanta. Bender would eventually catch us. Maybe kill me. Certainly kill you. Look, Fender must be destroyed. In Atlanta, we have the means. I'll lead him to his death. Nothing can stop him in this world. Not even you.
The long-haired pirate approaches.
You!
Gibson turns to see the long-haired pirate brandishing a huge dagger. Gibson starts walking away as Fender and his cronies descend from an upper level. Pearl looks up at Fender, who turns to one of his goons.
You take her.
Gibson carries Nady out into a long, broad alley between concrete buildings. The long-haired pirate runs through the building. Fender and his goons descend onto the ground level. All but the one he charged with guarding Pearl run on. Outside, Gibson carefully lowers Nady to the ground beside a sewer grate. Inside, Fender and his gang come upon the two guys Gibson dispatched lying splayed out on the ground. They pause, then hurry on. Gibson removes the grate and hops down into the sewer's entry shaft. Standing with his upper body above ground, he grabs his gun and starts to tug Nady towards him. He lowers her into the shaft as the villainous pirates race across the ground level. In the alley, the long-haired pirate sees him disappear into the shaft. Gibson wades through the sewers with Nady over his shoulders. The long-haired pirate races up to the open grate. Gibson pauses, straining under the weight. He continues under dripping water. A flame-haired female pirate races up to the opening and descends into the sewer. The long-haired, dagger-wielding pirate treks through the darkness below. Gibson halts. He glances back the way he came. The long-haired pirate lumbers through the sewer in pursuit. The cybergoth races up to the sewer opening. He descends into the sewer with a fighting stick. Gibson drops his rifle in the water. The long-haired pirate lumbers on. Gibson picks up his pace. His burly pursuer rounds a corner. He has spiked armor on his shoulders. Gibson wades across a darkened chamber. Gibson sets Nady down against a pillar and draws a dagger. He wades back across the murky chamber. The long-haired pirate proceeds warily through the sewer. Somewhere in the darkness, Gibson waits with his arms crossed at his chest, his dagger angled downwards. The muscle-bound pirate strikes a battle-ready pose as he steals along. Gibson lolls his head back into the dim light with a look of calm concentration. The pirate prowls slowly on. Gibson lifts the dagger above his head with both hands. He's poised above the passageway doing the splits, his calves resting on the tops of opposing walls. His pursuer stops beneath him. Gibson is ready to strike. The long-haired pirate looks up at him. He screams and marches on with his fighting stick. Fender leads a party through the sewers. They stop by a discarded item of clothing, then continue. Gibson reaches a ladder and puts Nady down. She stands up without support.
Can you make it?
Yeah.
Gibson climbs the ladder out of the sewer. The flame-haired female pirate marches determinedly through the shallow water. Gibson helps Nady out of the sewer into the light of day. The flame-haired pirate comes upon the half-submerged corpse of the long-haired pirate. She stops and stares at it. The cybergoth appears close behind. Above ground, Gibson and Nady share a look.
I guess I should have stayed put, huh?
Gibson stares at her. The cybergoth and the flame-haired pirate stand over the body of their murdered cohort. Gibson and Nady hear their roars. They stagger on. The muscly-armed redhead climbs out of the sewer and into the field, across which Nady and Gibson are fleeing. Running, Gibson glances back over his shoulder. The redhead races after them. They run on through knee-high grass as the cybergoth emerges from below ground. He puts his weight on his fighting stick as he hauls himself up into the field and sprints after them. The redhead hares across the open field. Her clenched fists rise and fall at her sides as she runs determinedly onwards. They hare across waterlogged ground past a small kidney-shaped body of water. A scruffy-looking pirate emerges from the sewer. The cybergoth races through the marshland. A masked pirate surfaces. The muscle man with the mullet runs across the field. A ponytailed pirate surfaces. The redhead and the cybergoth gain on Gibson and Nady. Gibson and Nady splash through shallow water. Gibson scurries on his hands and knees. Nady runs on as the cybergoth leaps into the water and faces off with Gibson. They swipe at each other, the goth with his stick and Gibson with his dagger. Neither lands a blow as they lunge and parry. Gibson falls back in the reeds, then swings for him with his dagger. The powerful-looking redhead strides towards Nady and glowers at her. Nady readies herself, and the redhead screams. She clobbers Nady in the face. Dagger blades flick out on each end of the Goth's fighting stick. Gibson dodges his attack and slashes the Goth's face. Nady and the redhead fight with daggers. Nady slices the redhead's left hand off. Nady drives the dagger into her opponent's stomach. The redhead bashes her in the jaw with her bloody stump, and they both fall unconscious in the water. Blood issues from the redhead's truncated arm. The man mountain with the mullet runs across the marshland at full pelt. Gibson deploys a powerful backward spinning kick, smashing a heel into the Goth's face and knocking him back into the water. The man mountain bares his chest as he approaches. Gibson drags the Goth to his feet and kicks him hard in the jaw. Gibson stands over his defeated opponent. The man mountain runs up behind Gibson and grabs him round the waist, lifting him from the water and throwing him down on a patch of sand. Gibson trips him and he drops his dagger. They both go for it, but Gibson kicks it out of the way. They spring up into fighting stances and the dagger blade springs out of Gibson's boot. He tries to kick his opponent, but he grabs Gibson's foot and fells him. Gibson kicks him off. Gibson breaks the man's neck. A sudden blow knocks Gibson down. More pirates have arrived. He whips a dagger from a pirate's boot and stabs him in the gut. The pirate falls down dead. The one who landed the blow beats Gibson repeatedly in the face until he submits and lies helpless on the sand. Two other pirates stand over him as two more arrive. Gibson lies beaten and defeated at their feet. Blood runs down his face from the corner of his mouth. He gasps for breath as they stand over him watching. Fender strides towards them across the sand in the near distance. Two ruinous old boats stand on the low horizon. Gibson lies on his back staring up at his captors. A muscle-bound black man, a masked and disheveled white man in body armor, a verminous gangly goon, and a beefy woman with a large dagger. Fender strolls over. He towers over Gibson, with his chainmail waistcoat dangling and his multi-barreled pneumatic rifle strapped across his back. He squats by Gibson's head and sneers at him.
Stand him up!
Gibson is beaten to his feet. He staggers backwards, then swings for Fender, who blocks the attack and lands a heavy left hook. Gibson hobbles backwards, then gets clobbered in the mouth again. He lands a weak kick on Fender's left arm. Fender punches him. Gibson summons up the energy for another spin kick. Fender hits him hard in the face. Fender hits him repeatedly with force. Fender draws his arm back to deliver a punishing blow. Gibson collapses face down in the sand. Fender wrenches Gibson's head back. Fender drags Gibson to his feet, and Gibson stares at him, his face covered in sand and blood. Fender calmly removes his sunglasses to reveal his ice blue eyes. Then he headbutts Gibson. Fender and his goons stand looking up by the twisted wreckage of a ship. The burly woman, the muscular black guy, the gangly rat-like man, the armored warrior, the masked man and Haley all stand behind Fender, staring. Crucified high on the ship's mast is Gibson. Blood streaks his bare chest. His jeans are torn. His dirt-speckled muscular torso glistens with sweat and blood. His eyes are closed and his head is hung. Fender looks up at him through his sunglasses. Gibson's eyes open, and he looks down at Fender. Gibson's eyes close and his head hangs. Fender smirks.
Let's go.
Fender struts off, followed by his goons. Haley stays behind. She strolls to the edge of the boat and stares up at Gibson. He meets her gaze. A flashback of young Haley wearing the pendant he gave her. By the boat, the adult Haley wears it still. Gibson's chest rises and falls as he breathes heavily on the cross. Fender turns and stares back at Haley. She's about 20 years old. She stands staring mutely at Fender. He lifts his head. She opens her mouth to speak, but no words come to her. Gibson hangs his head wearily.
Haley!
Haley turns sharply and runs back towards Fender and the others. Gibson closes his eyes.
What's wrong with you?
She runs ahead and joins the other pirates. Fender strides after them. Gibson's defeated figure hangs in silhouette against a golden sunset. The sun drifts down behind the trees. Day. The ropes binding Gibson's hands to the cross blow in a gentle breeze. A flashback. Haley and her brother as children lie sleeping with their heads in Gibson's lap. Gibson strokes the boy's hair. Gibson's lank hair hangs in front of his face. Mary looks at him.
You're good with them.
Gibson meets her gaze.
I like them.
They like you, Gibbs.
They're sitting by a fire on a wooden jetty in the dead of night. Gibson on the cross. Another flashback. Gibson strides up to Mary in the garden of their clapboard house.
This is going to be our home. Stay with us. Just for a little while.
He looks at her. In the house, he stands staring at his sword and scabbard, which he holds by its leather strap. He lowers it slowly into a wooden chest, puts a blanket over the top of it, and closes the lid. Gibson on the cross. Another flashback. Mary and Gibson stand naked together. Mary tentatively kisses Gibson on the lips. He stirs on the cross. In the flashback, their lips part and they look at each other. Gibson is characteristically expressionless. His lips part and he leans forward to kiss her neck. She lulls her head back in pleasure. They lie sleeping together in bed. Fender and two pirates stand watching them through a window above the bed. He wakes on the cross. Gibson, Mary, and her little brother are suspended over a well. They're wrapped in barbed wire, which a pirate holds taut. Fender strides up to them. Gibson glowers at him. On the cross, Gibson grows angry. In the flashback, the younger Fender removes his dark glasses to reveal his blue eyes. Smiling sadistically, he turns away from the well towards two of his pirates and Haley. Gibson struggles on the cross. Fender approaches Haley and the pirate holding the barbed wire. Gibson pulls hard against the nails as he hangs incapacitated atop the ship's mast. Fender smiles at the young Haley and takes her hands, forcing her to grip the barbed wire holding her siblings and Gibson over the well. Gibson roars on the cross. He starts to kick at the mast with a heel. Fender smiles at young Haley.
It's up to you, honey. If you can hold them, they'll live.
Gibson kicks at the mast. The wood begins to break. Young Haley stares in horror at her captors. Gibson's biceps bulge as he pulls against the wooden cross. He slams his heel into the wooden pole. In the flashback, Mary's brother begins to cry. Gibson kicks furiously at the pole, and the growing indentation splinters. Fender makes the young Haley hold the barbed wire, then lets go. Blood drips from her hands as the wire slips through her grip, shredding her palms. Gibson and Mary and her brother drop down into the well. Gibson ceases to struggle on the cross. He bares his teeth and lifts his head determinedly. Hands emerge from the well. It's Gibson. He hauls himself up into the light of day and collapses on the grass. Gibson stirs on the cross. His younger self crawls forward on his hands and knees. He recalls Mary lying dead in the dark well and himself kneeling alive in the sunlight. He screams out then and now. He gives the mast one last kick and the wood snaps in two. The crossbeam bashes the ground as Gibson lands nailed to the severed cross. A slender female figure stands silhouetted with a large dagger. She slices one of the ropes. It's Nady.
I told you you were going to need my help.
His pirates on a pathway through the dense trees. Pearl walks by his side.
What's waiting in Atlanta?
What I told you. The last of the old world.
What's waiting for me, cyborg?
Whatever you want. Guns. Weapons. The cure if they find it. Life.
Death?
Death?
You think you can stop me there?
No, we have a deal.
You'll fail.
Of course I would. I know how strong you are.
Don't look down on me!
I don't.
A pirate drags her back. Haley passes her and walks ahead with Fender. Fender leads his party into a scrapyard of smouldering, rusty vehicles. They walk on past a road sign that reads, Atlanta, City Limits. His motley entourage follow him into more woodland. Lightning crackles in the sky above the dilapidated remnants of Atlanta. The pirates trek towards the distant city buildings on a road blocked by a fallen bridge. Cleaned up but still bare-chested, Gibson removes a bandage from his right wrist, revealing a wound where he was nailed to the cross. A flash of lightning illuminates him. sign reads Atlanta. He squats beside Nady on a ledge overlooking a street. He gives her a dagger and she climbs down onto the rain-washed road. Small fires burn all around amidst the rubble of the decaying city. Gibson watches as Nady runs across the street and hides in a ditch behind a tree. Fender climbs into view nearby. He crests a small incline and descends into the city ruins. His pirates are close behind. They trudge through puddles past the innumerable, inexplicable fires that litter the landscape. Gibson fires an arrow from his high vantage point. The arrow lands in the ground at Fender's feet. Fender and Haley look up at Gibson. Gibson stands strong and defiant atop the broken building, flames roaring behind him, great pools of smoke issuing forth in murky swathes across the desolate ruins. The pirates ready themselves for battle. Gibson throws down his bow. He draws a dagger and puts it between clenched teeth. He and Fender lock eyes. Gibson hops down a level as the rodent-like pirate and the muscle-bound black pirate run forth to fight. Go! The burly woman and the pirate in body armor run forward too. Gibson leaps down from his lofty perch and strides towards the pirates. The black pirate charges at him and Gibson kicks the dagger from his hand. Gibson blocks the rat-like pirate's attack and stabs him. Gibson fells a masked pirate. A bearded pirate aims a gun, but Pearl wrestles it down. Another pirate drags her off him. Nady springs out and cuts the bearded man's head off. The other pirate throws Pearl to the ground, but Nady slaughters him. Fender and Haley turn round.
Come with me! Hurry!
Nady and Pearl scarper. The armored pirate gives chase and the burly woman takes her jacket off. Inside a bar, Pearl trips over. The armored pirate enters and Nady hits him with a stool. The burly woman runs in, knocks the stool from Nady's hand and knocks her back against a wall. Rain beats down on the street as Gibson faces off with one of Fender's men. Gibson glances at Fender, then his sword-wielding goon.
I kill slingers!
The burly woman kicks Nady in the face and leaps over the bar. The pirate leaps at Gibson, who blocks the attack and kicks him repeatedly in the ribs. The burly woman throws Nady against a wall. Gibson kicks the baddie in the face. Nady is sent reeling over the bar. Gibson kicks his opponent into a fire and his trench coat goes up in flames. Gibson delivers the knockout blow, and the pirate tumbles onto a car, which duly explodes. Nady stabs the burly woman in the stomach. Fender removes his chainmail armor and proceeds towards Gibson, who lies in a puddle. Gibson rises to his feet to face his nemesis, who strides towards him himself, now bare-chested. Haley watches blankly. The two men stand opposite each other in the driving rain. Fender has a dagger in a sheath on his boot. Despite the oppressive downpour and pervasive gloom, Fender still wears his sunglasses. The last men standing, they stand in silence staring each other out. Rain runs down Gibson's face. Fender whisks off his sunglasses. The men do battle. Soaked through, Haley watches as Fender pummels Gibson with heavy blows. Gibson is knocked through a car windscreen. He sits up inside the vehicle. He crawls towards the door, but Fender grabs it and beats him against the head with it. Fender glowers angrily at Haley, then notices her pendant and looks down at Gibson. A smile creeps over Fender's face.
Please.
Fender rounds the vehicle towards her with a malevolent grin. Gibson sits up on the back seat. Nady staggers out of the bar. Gibson stares out from inside the vehicle as Fender grabs Haley by the hair, holds her firmly, and tries to kiss her on the mouth. She turns her head away to avoid his kisses. Fender raises a dagger over her and roars. Gibson kicks through a window, hitting Fender in the back. Fender turns with a ghoulish grimace as Nady hairs up on the attack. He slashes her with a knife. Nady lies on the ground, clutching her bleeding stomach. Haley stands rooted to the spot as Fender approaches with daggers raised. Gibson kicks a car door open, thwacking Fender in the legs. Gibson clambers out through the broken windscreen and adopts a battle-ready stance in front of Fender.
Fucker!
Fender prowls towards Gibson, his muscles tensed. Haley retreats.
Come on!
Gibson stands between Haley and Fender. His macho pose leaves his body open, and Fender thumps him in the stomach. Gibson punches Fender, and Fender returns the blow, spinning Gibson round. He lands another punch, knocking him backwards. Gibson retaliates with force. Fender pummels him in the stomach. Fender hits him time and again in the face, forcing him backwards towards some stacked sandbags. Fender draws a dagger and slashes Gibson's face. Gibson wrenches Fender's arm back, kneeing him repeatedly just above the elbow. Gibson snatches the dagger and stabs him in the arm. Fender punches Gibson in the face and advances, but Gibson drives the dagger into Fender's stomach. Lightning flashes as Fender falls onto his back in the muddy water. His chest heaves and he convulses a final time before lying silently with his eyes closed. Gibson breathes a sigh of relief and lolls his head back to face the rain. A gash runs down his right cheek. He turns slowly and walks over to Haley. They stare silently at each other. She wraps her arms around him and they hug tightly. Haley opens her eyes and looks over Gibson's shoulder to see Fender rise up behind him. Fender strangles Gibson, who clutches Fender's wrists and tries to fight him off. The two men go crashing through a wooden door into a dingy building with their hands on each other's throats. Gibson has Fender pinned down. Fender rolls on top of Gibson, and Gibson punches him in the jaw. They stand up. Fender throws a punch and Gibson blocks, wrenching Fender's arm round unnaturally in its socket and kicking him hard in the ribs. Fender attacks with his other arm, but Gibson grabs it and pummels his torso. He gets Fender in a headlock and smashes his head through a wooden wall. He beats Fender back, then delivers a crushing kick to the face. Fender flies back, impaling himself on a meat hook. Fender dies. Gibson stares at Fender hanging limply on the hook, which in turn hangs from a chain on the wall. Gibson drops his gaze and heaves a sigh. Gibson staggers over to the doorway and hobbles out into the torrential rain. Pearl lies face down on the floor of the bar, which is overgrown with weeds and creeping vines. She rises to her knees. She gets up and goes outside. Despite the rain, small fires still litter the brooding landscape. Gibson stands over Nady, who lies dead on the bonnet of the smashed-up car. Haley stands with him. Pearl walks over to them. Gibson leans against the car. He gently strokes Nady's hair. Gibson looks over at Pearl, whose jet black hair glistens in the downpour. Tears mingle with rain on Pearl's face as they share a look. Gibson rests a palm on Nady's forehead as a drop of blood runs from her nose and down her cheek. Gibson looks down at Nady, the rain dripping from his lowered brow. He lifts his head to look at Pearl, his gaze oddly innocent and vulnerable. Later, Pearl joins the uniformed, grey-haired scientist.
Welcome home, Pearl.
They embrace.
Were you able to retrieve the data?
Yes, I was. Thanks to this man. Stay with us, Gibson.
They need us out there. Let's go.
He and Haley walk away.
It's strange, but I feel he's the real cure for this world.
Pearl watches as Gibson and Haley stand together in a column of light. He puts an arm around Haley and they leave. Pearl turns to the scientist, who smiles warmly and puts an arm around her shoulder. They climb a flight of steps into a building, and a steel door closes behind them.